Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony.
Go BBS Radio.
Guess what, guys? We are back in the building. We've been gone for a couple of weeks, but we're back in the building to give you the updated when it comes to sports. It is a show, when I tell you, things are happening around the sports world that's going to blow your mind. People hurting, maybe hurting people with the words that they're saying, and could we possibly have finally seen a change in New England? Is that coming?
Whew.
V, what are you thinking about? Listen, and these are some of the topics we're going to hit on today, because I want to let everybody know what some of the topics.
Sure.
Listen, we're talking Bill Belichick. Possibly there's some interest in Bill Belichick. We have never heard this in a long time. The Panthers are very interested in Bill Belichick. We're going to dab into that here in the show. Deion Sanders is right now trending again, and I don't know if we're trending upward or down when it comes to Deion Sanders and where this program is going to be. We're going to dab into that a lot. I want to get into that. Not only that, he's bringing in some guys that possibly he's looking to make a splash to come in. They're NFL names. Can they come in and help Deion Sanders to get this thing back trending in the way that it needs to go? Deion, as we know, came out with the blast, came out a splash when it came to Colorado, because I don't think a lot of people were looking for him to move in that direction, but he did move. So we're going to dive into that. Listen, NIL. First day of NIL opens up December 4th. And listen, it looks like the QBs are taking advantage of the NIL and what the NIL is going to bring to college football. And has the NIL really helped or hurt the NCAA? Has it hurt it, or is it has gotten to a point now to where it cannot be real back in when you're hearing the money? Caleb Williams, and B, listen, you can chime in on Caleb Williams.
Right.
And I heard this, and I had to go and look at it and see, was it actually true? You know, Caleb Williams possibly made more money than half of the LA Rams football players. And that's at the pro level, I'm talking.
Well, how about the backup quarterbacks? The average backup quarterback in the NFL, he made more than them as well.
That's him. It's a host of other quarterbacks that's at the college level is possibly demanding more money than what is at the NFL level. That is going to be something we're going to dab into. And listen, this is a show that's going to blow your mind without – listen, and then we're going to get into – ain't wearing that for nothing tonight. I see you got on your Broncos. They're in a positive upswing. They're moving through Denver, making everybody back happy to be Denver Bronco fans. My Cowboys play tonight. And, you know, I'm hoping we can set another record, because, you know, we've been setting records around this thing when it comes to the defensive back position. But, listen, let's dive into it. I also got my main man, Noah, joining the show. He's going to be with us Karen throughout the show. Noah, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, my brother. What's happening?
Noah. Evening, Noah.
B, let me tell you, it's an interesting situation of how I met. I went out to Kansas. And, you know, I was going out to do the Fox pregame show with Big Game Noon Fox. And I was just, you know, it was a little chilly, so I was standing around, you know, standing, you know, standing in the spot. I went to, you know, check out the crowd and things of that. Noah, mom and him approached me and we were talking, and all of a sudden they asked me, got to take a picture. I said, yeah, let's go ahead and take a picture. Then his mom came back to me and said, you know, she gave me his story. And she was saying, you know, he really wants to be a, he really, you know, he used to play football, can't play football anymore. And he wants to be in the broadcasting. He wants to go into journalism. He want, this is what he wants. So I said, for real? Mind you now, and it was, like I said, the timing of all this played itself right out. Mind you, I had, you know, was on the phone with my wife earlier when I pulled in the parking lot. And I said, I got to find me someone to follow me around. I didn't bring my videographer with me, and I got to find someone. And I and with the situation when she said, you know, he really would love to be, you know, injured, I said, for real? I said, well, I'm going to make his dream come. I said, I'm going to make his dream come true today.
That's it.
He'll get a chance to move around with me backstage on set with Fox.
Right.
And he, listen, did a great job, was with me the whole time. And it was a blessing for me to be able to be a blessing to someone else and to watch. And like I said, it's a lot more go back. He was used to play football and can't play football anymore because he had some injuries. He went through a depressed state and was down a little bit. And listen, I was able in that moment, able to help him see what it's like backstage. And not, you got to remember, the average person, you know, like Noah, don't, it'll take a long time for you to be able to get. And I told the talent lady that was over us, I say, do me a favor, get me two VIP passes. They're going to be with me today. And we were all backstage, and it was, you know, we was all on the set, big game set. He got a chance to take some pictures with some of the guys on the, you know, on the on the field that they set up. He got a chance. So it was a nice experience for him, and I was glad to be a part of his experience. And now with that, me and him have become friends, and I'm doing a lot of things that moving forward that's going to help him and others that are trying to be in his position. So I just want to know, and guys, this is Noah. He'll be with us each and every time. Now, Noah's going to get a little graphic. He's Noah, this is Vaughn and myself, so we're going to get into that. All right, my brother?
Okay.
What's up, my man?
All right, yeah, you better chime in. We'll get in here and ask some questions. But B, let's get into the show, man. Let's get into...
Yes, sir. Yes,
let's
sir.
Let's jump into this Bill Belichick situation. Now, when we talk about, you know, you look at, have Robert Kraft grown tired of the situation that's happening in New England?
Big question. That's going to be the number one offseason question, Tony. The number one offseason question this year in the NFL will be, will Bill Belichick be back with the New England Patriots, or will he be moving on? My guess is Bill Belichick and David Tepper, who is the owner of the Carolina Panthers, is a nasty mix. It's not a good mix right there.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's a good mix. I think that a lot of people are throwing things out there to try to attach Bill Belichick with something. But in actuality, we don't really know what Mr. Kraft wants to do, and we don't really know what Mr. Belichick really wants to do moving forward. So I think what's going to have to come out is we're going to have to wait and see. However, I do think great relationships get tired.
And I think when you look at what's happened.
This might have hit the road, right?
What has happened in New England? What has happened in New England post Tom Brady?
Tom Brady, right.
So now, you have a guy like Robert Kraft, and here we go. I had my greatest years when this combination was together.
Right.
Now that this combination leaves, they split, one part goes down to Tampa and able to continue what he was doing here. But now the other part, who everybody thought was the nucleus of this dynasty, is still here, and we're starting to what? Trend down. Way down. To where now, outside of the Jets in New England are at the bottom of the NFL when it comes to wins and what's happening. And has like you say, has that relationship grown old? Will we see a pardon of the guards? Will we see, I don't see Robert Kraft firing Bill Belichick. I think they come to some type of mutual agreement and say, hey, listen, I'll let you go. Pay you out your last year, because he only has one more year on his contract. I pay you out that 1 year. You can seek other pastors. You can go down and with Carolina, because there's going to be a lot of open. There's going to be a lot of openings throughout the NFL. I think it's probably, they're looking at, it'll probably be like 8 openings that opens up in the NFL. Possibly Chicago is one.
Definitely.
That's going to open up. But will Bill Belichick, and you know, Bill Belichick is a guy that has had total control on, can a guy like Bill Belichick say, at this age, I'm willing to step back and give control to other personnel? Can you see that happen?
See, that's where the biggest thing that comes in. Bill Belichick hasn't developed any talent lately. Okay, the drafts for the New England Patriots have been absolutely abysmal. So if you can, we can't really find any good talent that's been developed, right?
Correct.
When we do pick and choose these little guys, these guys that have shown flashes of talent, whether it was J.C. Jackson type guys and different people that they brought through their system, they've mostly been defensive players, if we notice, right? Yeah. They have not been offensive players, been defensive guys, right?
Correct.
So now is Bill Belichick willing to relinquish the talent side and the draft side of it and allow someone else to be able to control that and still control the football side? Or does he want the whole encompassment? I'll tell you, I'll go on record right now and tell you what I think is going to happen. I don't think Bill Belichick, I think him and Robert Kraft will find a way to let him finish his last year. But with the caveat is he's going to have to get player development people and draft people into the organization to help and assist with that portion of it. And let's not forget who's coming out in this draft. New England is set up to get maybe a Michael Penix. Does Bill Belichick want to walk away from having the opportunity to coaching Michael Penix? I don't think so. But now,
Vaughn, is Bill Belichick, and this is where when we was talking about Carolina, do Bill Belichick have the patience to develop a young quarterback?
I think he has no choice. Right now, currently, at his age, I think he has no choice unless I'll throw in the second part of it. I think he'll most likely stay. But if he were to leave, Bill Belichick, in my opinion, is going to go to the Los Angeles Chargers to coach Justin Herbert and a defense with Asante Samuel, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. You have a lot of talent. Derwin James, there's a lot of talent sitting there. This team is ready to go. The problem with the team is bad coaching.
But do those guys that are at the Chargers, can they adjust? Because now, mind you now, they've been in the league some, and they've never been up under a guy like Bill Belichick. Can those two worlds coexist with these new young athletes? I think Belichick willing to change?
The group of people that he'll come around, they all have something in common. Bill's said, they're telling Bill, you can't win without Tom. And these players that are so talented, are underachieving, and have no rings.
Correct.
Khalil Mack's getting old. He has no ring. Joey Bosa, no ring. Austin Eckler, no ring. Okay? So what I'm saying is, and let's not forget, they got two young tackles that they drafted within the last 2 years in the Los Angeles Chargers that are really outstanding tackles. So you got two tackles. You got a starting quarterback. You got wide receivers. You got Quentin Johnson. You just got it out of TCU. So you got Keenan Allen still balling. Okay? So we have talent on the Chargers. The only question is, who can they get in to coach him? And I think if Bill Belichick were to leave, that's the only place that I could actually see him going, unless he's going off to retire.
Right. And like you say, that's a place, nice, great talent. They just need someone to help water them to finish, to get to rings, Super Bowls. But we're looking at a guy, and like they say, sometimes it's hard to change guys that are old coaches. They don't adjust well to this new era. And I think that is what's happening in New England, as just as well as there's no Tom Brady. He has Matt Jones. I'm looking at Matt Jones, the development of Matt Jones, and we are not seeing it. What is it that he can't get Matt Jones? And mind you now, he drafted Matt Jones. He drafted him. You can't blame that on anybody else.
That's right.
How can he? Did he miss on Matt Jones?
Yeah.
And then some people will say, well, he picked up a Tom Brady. But technically, everybody must understand Tom Brady was a 7th round draft pick.
How many times does a person win the lottery? you win it normally once if you win it. Tom Brady was the lottery ticket. You expect this guy to go and buy him a ticket and get another one?
That's but not was he a, but was he a lottery ticket or was he a scratch off?
He was a lottery ticket. But he was the 1 billionth. He had 1 billionth of a chance to get this guy. He actually got it.
And
he won the mega million.
But that's why. Okay, I see what you're saying. I want to call him a scratch off for the simple fact, okay, people may go in, they have hopes of winning the lottery, so they buy lottery tickets. But then they say, give me that scratch off. And you wind up getting, and Tom Brady, in that instance, to me, was like a scratch off to where he scratched it off and he was able to secure Super Bowls. Now, Matt Jones, you went to Matt Jones. Now you bought the lottery ticket with Matt Jones because that's what you said. That's what you thought.
See, I think Matt Jones is a scratch off.
But now, right now,
he went to the local gas station in Alabama, and Nick Saban went there together in the 7-Eleven, and they bought a scratch off and said, "Oh, look, we got Matt Jones for you." That's what
Do you think Nick Saban sold him that Matt Jones?
Yes,
see, their relationship.
Yes, that's part of the problem. Is when Bill Belichick wants to evaluate talent, correct, he really doesn't do his due diligence. He doesn't have a general manager at college football game scouting Michael Penix, Drake May, Caleb Williams. Yeah. He doesn't have that. He has scouts there, but he doesn't have a GM there because he controls that, right? So he doesn't really get to see the real full gambit of it. But what he does is he calls Nick on the phone. Nick, what do you got for me? Nick, what you got for me? You got Dante Hightower? Sit him up, right? You got so-and-so? Yep. Sit him up, right? So he's done this, and there's a linebacker. I'm going to get his name before the show is over. They drafted him. He had a nice college career and everything out of Alabama, did not succeed in the NFL. Second, third round draft pick for the New England Patriots. Right. So he's got to get away from this automatic Alabama calling Nick and Nick telling him that this guy's good and then taking it there thinking it's going to work, man. This is not working.
I guarantee you he do a little bit more research on Alabama guys, special quarterbacks, when it comes to bringing them in. I don't think he goes to Alabama no more and get a quarterback. I'm just being honest because I think he's looking back at this. My friend sold me a dud, sold me a limit in the car world.
Or what is he? Maybe he's saying my friend is good at selling me these items in the store, but with that stuff, I don't buy from his store. I go to another store.
And that's what he got. That's what he got to do because he cannot. Listen, it is costing it. It has hurt New England tremendously, and you know, because it always go back to was it Tom Brady, was it Bill Belichick? And a lot of people are more leaning toward Tom Brady, that Tom Brady was able to leave. But Tom Brady was smart. Tom Brady did not go to a team that didn't have talent. Tampa had talent.
They were ready to go.
There was a ready-made team. So do Bill Belichick say, wait a minute, hold up. As you said, San Diego, I mean, the Chargers, LA Chargers is a ready-made team. It's almost the same type of team.
And they said there's a rumor in Boston that he already has a house out. You know, he has a house out west, and his house is not far from the team facility. So maybe this is a possibility. I think, personally, if this is going to happen, I think New England first is the ideal spot. Let him finish. Because he's a Hall of Fame greatest coach, according to that. Outside of that, if we're going to get into the what could be, man, the Chargers ready to go.
Listen, and as a matter of fact, let's if you can, Thomas, play that soundbite with what was on Undisputed earlier, where Skip Bayless and Michael Irvin were speaking on just this topic. We're gonna play a quick bit of that. We're gonna go into a commercial, guys, and then guess what? We're coming back. Deion Sanders, is it up, trending up, or is it trending down? Thomas, go ahead and play that soundbite for us.
For 10 years, so he's a highly credible source. Now reporting that Panthers owner David Tepper has strong interest in Bill Belichick as his next head coach. Former Carolina quarterback Cam Newton echoes that report, saying, knowing what I know, he meaning Tepper, is hoping that he can land Bill Belichick. That right there would be a win-win-win-win for David Tepper. Cam, of course, won MVP for the Panthers 2015 while lifting them into the Super Bowl. Then he played for Belichick in New England in 2020. So, Keyshawn, you know Belichick. Can you see Belichick going to Carolina?
Here's the problem that I see happening in this situation. You have a meddling owner in David Tepper.
Oof.
That he is what he is. I mean, you know, 5 years he's been the owner now or so, and he's had several head coaches, interim coaches, firing coaches in the middle of the year, picking players. Like, it's just overruling on picking players and holding a press conference to defend the pick. I personally don't see Belichick, even if he gave him the keys and said, I'm going to go and hide and not bother you. I just know that it'll be tough for Bill to want to deal with an owner like that. When you take a job as a head coach, the number one thing, if you ever pay attention to this, and I know you do, Skip, I'm just talking to the audience and those that don't. First thing that the coaches say is when they're looking for jobs is the ownership.
That's the one thing everybody's talking about. What is the ownership like in Carolina? And he's a meddler. If you look at the last couple coaches that he's hired. Now, this guy is on there talking about, I wanted this player. And that's why I drafted. And I think he's trying to play the role of a Jerry Jones, but does not have the Jerry Jones personnel. Jerry had the personnel, and he hired Jimmy Johnson. And at that time, Jimmy was a stickler that, hey, this is my team. I got it.
Who knew football? And knew
that's
football.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Coming off of the University of Miami National Championship team, and it is what it is. Now, when we're talking about success of New England has had a great history of success. A great history of success.
I mean, it's hard to leave a good boss.
Yes.
In any industry. Exactly. To the fans out there at home, your regular job, or if you play football and for a professional team, it's hard, or a coach, it's hard to leave a good organization when they treated you well, right? Correct. And so Bill has had the keys to the whole thing. He's had a lot of success with him. I think what's going to have to happen now is he's got to compromise a little bit. But if he compromises a little bit, has some assistance with gaining some talent, I think he can get a Michael Penix and be able to move forward. And down in Carolina, you can't fire Frank Reich after 10 games. You can't get rid of Ron Rivera in the middle of a season. These are good people in this industry, right?
And this one owner has been a part of all this.
Right. And so he's gotten rid of interim coaches and this, that, and the third. So at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, is Bill willing to leave Kraft for Tepper? And it can't be money. Because Bill's got money already, right? So he won't be coaching for money, right? And here's another thing. Bill Belichick needs 20 wins to break Don Shula's record as a head coach of the most wins as a head coach of NFL history. How many years will it take him to get 20 wins in Carolina?
Won't get it. He won't. Unless he goes to San Diego, unless he goes to the Chargers.
To the Chargers.
He would not get that. Listen, if we're talking
Tony.
Go ahead.
But wait, here's the thing. If he goes to the Chargers, he could get it, right? But if he gets a Michael Penix, he can't get 20 wins in 2-3 seasons?
Three seasons, I would give him. Three seasons.
Okay.
I would give him three seasons. But does this relationship last three seasons? And we're that's the question. Will the relationship last?
Maybe if Bill is willing to relinquish a little bit of power in terms of the talent evaluation to get better talent. See, the problem is the Patriot way played out? Is the Patriot way played out? Because, you know, the Patriot way is Teddy Bruschi, Tom Brady,
those
Rodney
are old
Harrison.
Guys that follow the script. This young generation ain't following the script. They don't listen. As primetime Deion Sanders said, heck, you can't get them to love their girlfriends. How are you going to get them to love a school? And with that, we're going to shoot to a commercial back. And we're coming back on the other side of talking Colorado primetime. Are they trending up or are they trending down? Stay tuned on the other side of this commercial as we dive into that. And you're going to be puzzled at what some of his friends are saying about his program. Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
What you got, I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got, I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. you got, I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got, I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. Listen, my man V is joining. Sir. For those that are joining, we've been talking Bill Belichick, but now we're moving on. My man, Noah, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, I'm still with us?
All right, listen, we're gonna tap into this. We're diving into your area of knowledge. Listen,
sir.
We're talking Deion Sanders. A lot of things. Listen, Deion jumped off to a great start. A great start. The hype started going. Everybody started. The celebrities started showing up on the sideline. I even was down there. It was, listen, the atmosphere was crazy. Some said that Deion turned Colorado into an HBCU. It was just that exciting. He had the band playing his theme song. It was crazy. Listen, we drove up on
Little Wayne.
Leading them out. Lil Baby was there. It was an exciting time. Everything's going
Wu-Tang,
right.
Wu-Tang.
But soon as things start changing, you start hearing people come. What I would say is not a positive in this recruiting era. You got to be careful of all the things that you're saying. And I know you're a friend. They're friends of his. But if I can, do me a favor. Can we play soundbite number 4 with Deion Sanders and Stephen A. Smith goes off? Thomas, can you grab me that soundbite and play it for us, please?
You got annihilated by Oregon on national television. You just got annihilated by Washington State. You were up 29-0 on Stanford at halftime, and you blew that game in double overtime, losing 46-43. You've lost to Oregon State. The list just goes on and on and on. I'm just telling you what I know. I don't care what he says. I know the man. And I'm telling you right now, I'd fly to Colorado myself and try to strangle him. Hell, I think you got a better chance of getting better athletes at Rutgers before you got cats that want to go to Boulder, Colorado. We just got to be real with what we're seeing here. Shador Sanders, I mean, he's a stud, but he's miniature in size compared to them big boys coming after him. He's been sacked 52 times. He's getting mauled and mugged legally, because he's getting slaughtered. Travis Hunt, same thing. It's about them boys that eat steak and potatoes for breakfast. It's about those. You don't have them in Colorado.
Now, what you're listening to that, let's listen and break down that. If you are a parent and Colorado is coming to after you hear Stephen A. Smith sounds off on Colorado, how positive is you as a parent about sending your kid to Colorado? Because you got to remember, when Texas A&M fired Jimbo Fisher, Stephen A. Smith was one of the first ones to come out and say, hey, man, you need to leave there and head to Texas A&M. You have a kid that's being recruited. You're saying to yourself, hey, listen, I don't know if Deion's going to be there throughout my kid's tenure, whether it be 2, 3, 4 years. Do I send my kid there? And we started seeing, after that came out, we started seeing the avalanche of players that had committed when everything was going good start saying to themselves, I think I'm going to decommit. They didn't say that they was not going to continue to look at the program, but they said they was decommitting. That means they was opening back up their opportunities. They're opening back up. How do you see this as continuing? Do you see Deion getting a hold of this? Do you see it just becoming, now you're moving to the Big 12 next year because there's no longer the Pac-12 or whatever. They move into the Big 12. How do you see this as playing out? Because now you got to compete against, you're going up against some, you know, some pretty good talent that has offenses that can sling the ball around. Defense is in, you know, is kind of suspect, but their offense can throw the ball. How do you see him securing what he needs after you hear something like that?
First off, let me address Stephen A. Smith's situation. I'm very disappointed that he would even come out and even say something like that, because he was basically reaching for straws. He knew what Deion Sanders was up against. He knew he didn't have the big boys in the trenches. He was there. So for him to come out and now try to like say this and that, I was, look, ratings are playing a part.
Correct.
Okay? Correct. Ravens are playing a part on why Steven is saying what he's saying. He's trying to draw fire. He has a job and a responsibility to do to be able to bring attention where there is no attention in that situation. What he said wasn't really anything that we all don't really know.
And we already didn't know. We knew
he already knew this.
He said he didn't have the If you're a friend, my guy gonna get it right. He gonna get these bigs in here. You guys that are bigs, let's get to Colorado. It's almost as when I hear that, it almost made me think, do you got something more against Colorado? We know it's tough to get recruits in there, but they were coming. Travis Hunter came. We knew were coming. But when you say something like that.
Tone, I think it's easier for him to diss Deion at this present time because he's not, it doesn't do him any satisfaction in his book to support it and say, man, big man from down in Alabama, come on out to Colorado and play for Prime. You know, he could have did that, like you're saying, as a friend and as a believer in the program and what he's doing. But he's trying. I don't really think he's a friend.
And
this is business.
Because when you say I go down to the program, I'm listening to that. When I go down to the I go down to Colorado myself and strangle it.
What is that? I didn't understand. He, again, this is ratings because when the ratings dropped and Uncle Mike went to a different network and ESPN is no longer having this man, things aren't going the way they planned. Guess what? He's trying to spark attention. And but so now, okay, go ahead.
No, you finish.
I just want to say that I think that he's just coming from a place of just desperation. And he's coming from a place that Whitlock is not even coming from right now. Whitlock's quiet, and we're expecting him to be saying everything, right?
Everything.
I'm expecting Whitlock to be like, I told y'all Deion is trash. I heard Whitlock's in a couple weeks.
Yes.
But I got Stephen A. Smith running off, telling me that he should get talent from Rutgers. Really?
You can get better talent. He said you can get better talent at Rutgers.
My man, I love it. I'm from the New York tri-state area, brother. New Jersey's right up the block. You can't get no talent. Where you trying to go with Colorado from Rutgers.
That's what I'm saying.
Come on, bro.
Listen, do me a favor, Thomas. Play that sound back again. Come on. Start it in that same spot. Play that sound back again. I want to hear that and break that down again. Let's hit up those that are just joining the show. Let's play that sound back again of what Stephen A. was saying.
You got annihilated by Oregon on national television. You just got annihilated by Washington State. You were up 29-0 on Stanford at halftime, and you blew that game in double overtime, losing 46-43. You've lost to Oregon State. The list just goes on and on and on. I'm just telling you what I know. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he says. I know the man. And I'm telling you right now, I'd fly to Colorado myself and try to strangle him. Hell, I think you got a better chance of getting better athletes at Rutgers.
He was just
He's not making any sense what he's saying. He's all over the place.
We already know. We already know that Deion has had troubles with bigs. He was going to it was going to be a back end of that schedule. It was going to be a tough schedule. That was the toughest part of his schedule was the back end. When you play in Oregon, you got to play Washington State. You got to play some of these teams. And in spite of all that, there was a couple of those games that Deion Sanders was still in. A call here, a play there, a catch here, a drop could have changed that. So it's not like he was that far to where you literally come out and say those type of things when I think you could have said some other things. Deion understands where he's at. As a matter of fact, Deion is saying he's making it clear to a lot of recruits and everybody's saying it. Can you, Thomas, play soundbite number 3. And this is where Deion was talking about what Colorado is and what Colorado is not. Thomas, play that soundbite number 3 for me.
We're not an ATM. That's not going to happen here. If you come to Colorado to play football for me and the Colorado Buffaloes because you really want to play football and receive a wonderful education, and all the business stuff is going to be handled on the back end if that's the case. But we are not an ATM. You're not coming here to get rich unless you really come here with a plan to go to the NFL and get your degree.
And as he stated, we're not an ATM. If you're coming, but he never said that we are not giving out the money. He said the business part will be handled on the back end. So I'm still letting you know, hey, There's still an opportunity to come here and get yourself paid, because a lot of the young kids that I'm quite sure that was making commitments early looked at Shador driving a Maybach, looked at, you know, the money that he's making. These guys flashing the ring, flashing the watches. A lot of money was being thrown in front of a lot of kids. So a lot of these kids were saying, hey, listen, I want a piece of that pie. I want some of that, what those guys did. You're talking about possibly $8 million between three players. $8 million. Right. Travis is up at three. Shador was at four. And his other son was at about one or two million. So,
and he's passed that now. He's passed that now with the commercial that they got on TV.
That's what I'm saying. So, we want to be in some of these commercials, Aflac. We want to be in some of the KFC commercials. We want some of that action. So a lot of these kids did say, hey, this is what we want. And this is the day and era that we are in. We're in the NIL era. And it's going to
Tone, here's the thing now. Deion Sanders situation, I've been a supporter from day one. The only issue I had coming into this season, and you and I talked about it coming into this season, you know, and the problem.
Man, you had some heated conversations about it.
And the thing is, though, this is where a guy like Stephen A. Smith messed up, though. Stephen A. Smith messed up with one thing. He didn't do his homework.
Yes.
If he knew Deion was coming up against the Pac-12 conference, had more teams in bowl games than any other conference last season.
They were the conference.
They were the number one conference last year. So he had to go against the number one conference.
Correct.
The SEC is the SEC. But we're talking bowl games. The Pac-12 had more teams going to the bowl game last year. So he had to go against that. And my argument to everybody over the summer was, man, I want Deion to win. I'm pulling for him. I want this to be a success. However, Oregon State got a four-year program that's been in place. You got kids been lifting weights for four seasons.
Correct.
Eating, nutrition, four seasons. Oregon State, Washington State, UCLA. You think you're going to walk into UCLA and just house these people? What about Arizona? Arizona's an established team. These people have been building programs. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is that it was a tough road and a major hill to climb. So it started off well, 3-0, and then it went downhill from there because the schedule got real after that.
He got on the back end of that schedule to where that was the low. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people, when you came into it and you jumped out and you beat TCU, but not understanding what TCU lost.
That's right. All those guys go to the pros.
Everybody looked at the TCU that was in the national championship. They didn't look at the TCU of what it is now. And that's, he jumped out, beat TCU. But we got to understand, and people are not realizing, it's still a successful season for Deion and the Colorado Buffaloes. They only won one game last year.
Right.
Really what he did to win. Go ahead.
He's plus two. He's plus two for this season because he won three games, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So it's a successful season. Here's where I think where the thing gets a little gray, okay? It gets gray with the coaches. Let's start with the coaching staff first.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. You lost the established coaching staff member of the tight ends coach, who is a well-respected gentleman, big on the recruiting trail, brought the tight end that you got running around out there. He's out the door. He on his own accord, okay?
Correct.
You got Sean going over now to San Diego State. He got a head coaching job. My man went from, what was that, Kent State?
Kent State.
Was he at Kent State to Colorado to get demoted at Colorado to get a head coaching job? He got the same title as Deion Sanders.
And now listen, that doesn't happen a lot for certain coaches. They knew what his potential was because they seen what he did at Colorado in the beginning and what he did at Kent State, how he had Kent State offense clicking on all cylinders. So they're saying to themselves, we're willing to take that chance on.
And the quarterback that committed and decommitted to Colorado is supposedly attached to him. So now they're expecting him now to go to San Diego State with the coach. So I think this thing started out well. It went downhill fast. The coaches leaving is it's not a good thing. Okay, we're going to have to figure that portion out. However, he does get a plus one by hiring our friend, member of the Tony Sands Show, Hall of Famer, Warren Sapp is coming to Colorado. So I'm happy about that. I'm happy Mr. Tapp has a job doing something that he really loves, even though we all know Warren could be fishing and he'll be happy because Warren likes to fish. But I'm happy to see, you know Warren, Warren likes to fish and do what Warren does. But my thing is, but he also loves some football. He wants to be a part of these kids' lives. He's passionate about it. He can tell these kids positive and negative things, which we need, some of these kids need. So I'm most excited about Warren Sapp coming out to the team. So while he lost these two coaches, and it does not look good, and there will be more work to be done to establish more coaches and reestablish the coaching thing, I think that he's not getting enough credit by pressing the reset button, by saying, wait a minute, I know I got to upgrade in certain areas. We need to get in the trenches, right? First thing, I'm going on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to get a Hall of Famer.
Correct. And now, not only that, there's rumor has it that Byron Leftwich could possibly be joining the staff. When you talk about Byron Leftwich, you're talking about someone that's been around.
Coach Tom Brady. That's right.
Super Bowl. So now you're talking about another positive NFL guy. Got all the tangibles that it would take to develop and continue to develop Shador. It, to me, you get Byron Leftwich, it makes you, and these all a part of Tom Brady guys. I call them Tom Brady guys. Because Shador is a Tom Brady guy. Leftwich is a Tom Brady guy. So now to me, Leftwich, if he's seeing Shador doing something that he don't supposed to, hey, Tom, you need to get a young fella a call and talk to him. Now, Tom gets on the phone. Hey, man, what's up? I'm hearing Leftwich saying boom. So now when it comes through those ears, it gets Shador what? Back in line. You see when Tom called him out on the Maybach. Hey, wait, hold on, buddy. You need to get out of that car and get in that film room. And you can tell it resonated more with Shador. So that's what I'm looking at. But when we look at Colorado's schedule, everybody got to understand, they're looking at the loss that Colorado had. But you got to remember, technically, there were only two games in that stretch that Colorado was out of. And that was the Oregon when they lost 42-6. And that was Washington State. Every other game that they lost, when they came to USC, score was 48-41. We saw how that played out.
Sure.
When it comes Arizona, they won out.
Close game. UCLA was a close game too, right?
You got to remember, Stanford went to the wire. Stanford was one of the highest rated games that Colorado had that at that time of night, where you had everybody up watching that game.
Colorado State game was big, and the Stanford game was big.
Listen, UCLA, 26-16. Oregon, 26-19. Oregon State, 26-19. Arizona, 34-31. Utah, 23-17. So when you look at these games, it's not like they're saying in the losses that they had, they just got humbled. Stephen A. Smith would make it seem like it was the worst tenure on the downside. And it was not. It was not that. These guys were still in these games in spite of not having the beads.
You know what? I love what Stephen A. did. He taught a lot of young people who are out there listening right now, and a lot of us adults even, he taught us a valuable lesson. You know what he taught us? He taught us that they only love you when you're hot.
When you're hot. That is it.
Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I didn't see any celebrities or not too many people going out to Colorado when things started looking bad. I didn't hear any people really saying, hey, man, I'm going to take the jet out this weekend and go support my brother. I'll be on the sideline like, dad, we got smashed 56-10, but I was here for my brother. See, that's the part that we all need to pay most attention to, me personally.
Do you think Deion is sitting somewhere to himself saying, look how this thing has changed. Where are all my friends? Where are they? Are they still around? I haven't seen. I haven't heard no one saying anything. No one came out to the Utah. And I know, it's hard to go and, go to Utah and enjoy it. But Washington State, I didn't see that many, people coming out. So it was.
Did anybody want to stand out in that cold, wet rain and a cold night?
Nah.
Nobody wanted that one.
Doing it.
Nobody wanted to go out and do that. Where was what's my man name? The rapping guys and all these, where was everybody at, bro?
Everybody disappeared.
Why?
It was not a trending story.
Right, because what Deion was going to do is exactly what I think you just suggested. As a smart man, he's going to take some time out. in the offseason. He's going to really look and analyze this thing, right?
Evaluate it. Yep.
Evaluate it, right? And when he really evaluates, I think he's going to say, hey, man, I don't need all of this.
Yeah.
Y'all, they're riding his wave, basically. Okay? It's his wave. It's his thing. You know, these rappers and these entertainers, his thing. All these people come out.
Yes.
When you're not hot, you know what they do, Tom? When they're not hot, they go hang out with Dion. Because all you got to do is take a photo or be next to him and be like, yo, I'm with Prime. Now I'm saying you back hot now, right?
Hey, listen, that was the trending hottest thing. If you got a picture with Prime, you're back considered up in the echelons of celebrities. Right. Because every celebrity that was hot or trying to get back hot was on that sideline doing, listen, I'm going to tell you. And
I'll give you one more, Tone. I'll give you one more because you went to Colorado, so you've seen it firsthand, ladies and gentlemen. Tony Sanders on the sideline, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
So he's seen the fanfare. I'll give you the analogy, the same analogy. The same analogy is in soccer. All of these people came out. I see Puff Daddy and all these people at a Messi game. Y'all don't watch no soccer, bro. All of a sudden, Messi and Kim Kardashian, all of them is at soccer games now. You know why? Because if you get a photo out with Messi,
You're hot. Everything is going good for you. And I think I think Dion is rethinking.
And Dion's on NFL Network right now, ladies and gentlemen. Just to show you that Tony Sands got everything plugged in. We talk about it. He's on Prime. Prime has got the Prime shirt on NFL Network right now before the Cowboys game.
Cowboys game.
Right now.
And as
right
you now. Said, listen, let's go ahead and let's get into tonight's game,
That's
guys.
Right.
You know, the
Big
Cowboys
game.
Play Seattle tonight. My boys, as they say.
Your boys.
How
your
about boys. Your Cowboys is on tonight. Listen, we're on a trend. Now we're hearing back again that Dak Prescott is in the MVP talk.
That's right.
Is that fool's gold, or you think that's something legit?
It's legit, but I'm going to tell you something. Everybody better get ready. When was the last time we had a rookie of the year and the MVP in the same season?
Ouch.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see for the first time.
Ouch.
The MVP will be the rookie and the MVP, the rookie of the year, and the MVP will be CJ Stroud.
I like that now. I'm going to be honest.
CJ Stroud off that team, that team is right. That boy's playing some ball.
He's given life.
Ooh.
We thought they would never get back up. But listen, when you take a team that no one thought had talent, and all of a sudden you elevate the talent.
Right. The whole brand was in the garbage can, Tony.
Was in the garbage.
They did the Lovie Smith, was in the garbage. They went out and got the coach right.
Yes.
They got Bobby Slowick to be the offensive coordinator, and you got a C.J. Stroud, and then you got David Tepper, a multi-billionaire sitting in Carolina, sitting there saying, I made the wrong.
I made the wrong? And that's the controversy. Do you think him as a billionaire say, I made the wrong pick. I should have went that route.
Yes.
But do we stand behind Bryce Young?
Listen, he has no choice. Rich people are arrogant, and one thing they will never do is, until the burning day is they'll tell you that they made a mistake, right? But I tell you now, every time he turned on that television and CJ like this and throwing that ball, they talk about CJ and they breaking down CJ's film. You got the Alex Smiths, Kurt Warners, and all these people talking about, man, this kid is special. Romo's telling you special. Aikman telling you he's special. Now you got the defensive guys, Bart Scott telling you he's special. The defensive dude said, man, he know how to work his eyes and work the safety and work the line. This is veteran stuff in a rookie. When we start to hear that, what do you think David Tepper is saying, man? This man is a multi-billionaire, and he made the wrong choice.
Made the wrong decision. Your money.
He got to watch it for the next 10, 15 years. Next 10, 15 years, he got to watch this.
But do you think he grabs at, that's why I say, it goes back to, do he tell himself, listen, I can get a Bill Belichick, and I'm going to back away from it. I'm going to let him run.
I don't see Bill going there. And here's the thing. The Dallas Cowboys with Mike McCarthy Mike McCarthy's not getting the props that he deserves. Okay.
Right.
Mike McCarthy's been a good adjustment since last year. He's working the talent.
Okay. Correct.
The defense is stepping up. The kid Bland is having an outstanding season. If I'm a Cowboys fan, I would be super excited about this year. But next year, if you get Gilmore, Bland, and Diggs on the same field at the same time, brother, it's going to be hard to beat you.
And when we talk about you brought up the deep, the secondary of the Cowboys.
Right, right.
When you look at, I'm going to take us back to Kansas City. Let's look at Marcus Peterson. Let's look at Marcus Peterson. How Marcus Peterson was playing when he was at Kansas City.
Right.
Trayvon Diggs.
Right.
Bland. All three of those guys have one thing in common. One thing. The hottest DB coach in the NFL right now, Al Harris. By far, and I know it because I had the pleasure of training Al for 14 years. Every season that he was in the NFL, me and him worked diligently during the offseason. We built a relationship that was like no other. His game changed when he did almost the same thing that I see Bland doing, where he jumped a route with Hasselbeck against the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
When Hasselbeck said, we're going to get the ball and we're going to score.
Right.
Al said, I think not. Jumped the route, take it in for the touchdown, Packers score, win the game. This is what I'm quite sure is going through Al's mind, and Al's probably telling his DBs the same thing tonight. Listen, bro, I turned my whole career around on those guys. Do not let those receivers, because you got to remember now, they got the big dude, Metcalf is a man.
You got Lockett as a rocket.
Correct.
You got Jackson Smith Njigba out of Ohio State, ladies and gentlemen. This kid is nice. Watch him. He will make a play tonight. He's going to be good. He will make a play. I tell you another guy to watch out for tonight, possession guy, third downs. Look for Geno Smith to look for Jake Bobo, big wide receiver, all right? Number 18, big dude, all right? Here's the game in a nutshell for me is
– go ahead. Give me your pick.
Seattle Seahawks have to play. This is their season. This is it.
Things riding on this.
This is it. Everything is riding. You're going to get their best effort tonight. You can't come out and play the way they played on Thanksgiving and get blown out like San Francisco.
At all.
The 9.5 point spreads, I'm throwing it out the window. This is going to be a tough game, close game. I'm taking Dallas Cowboys 27. No, I'm going to wheel it down. This Thursday night football, it's going to be 24-20 Dallas.
Ooh, I'm going to say 27. I'm going 27-14 Dallas. I'm going to go with my Cowboys. I think Dallas Cowboys play well. They play well under the lights.
They do.
Listen, this is going to be in their – and then guess what? This is the game to where Dallas say, listen, these last two games that we've had is not a fluke. We're going to show everybody because everybody's looking for the Cowboys to have a down game. They're looking for that downer in it. Cowboys understand we got to keep this momentum going because – the next part of our stretch of our schedule, we gotta see Philly again. We gotta see Miami again. I mean, we gotta see Miami.
It's a lot of work.
So we gotta get tuned up for this. And if we show everybody with Seattle that if we win, we go out there and get this man, guess what? Everybody now is putting us what they call, quote unquote, back in their top tier. Because two of the most explosive teams in the league, when you talk about offense and defense, to me, one, I'm always going to say my Cowboys when it comes to both sides of the ball. Then I'm going to have to go and say it. I don't want to say it. I almost got to choke myself to say it. The Dolphins. Who? The Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins is that second team, man. That's what I'm saying. Right. So we got a minute left in it. Give me your roundup. Give me how you see. Give me your top four for the playoffs in the NCAA playoff series. Give me your top four after this weekend is over.
Well, of course, my Florida State Seminoles will be putting a beat down on Louisville. We'll start with that. The Iowa-Michigan game is a very interesting game in the sense of I got a strange feeling it's going to be a close game, but Michigan is still going to win the game.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I'm going with
Georgia-Alabama, man. Georgia-Alabama. Georgia starts slow all the time. I'm going Alabama.
Yeah, I think Alabama might win this one.
Noah said Alabama?
Oh, yeah. Alabama, I think it's going to upset Georgia this week.
All right, so I'm going with Alabama as well. I think Jalen Milroe is on fire after last week, man. So, and Oregon has beaten Washington to get the four.
Yeah, I'm with that. I go with that.
Oregon is going to win it all, though. Oregon is going to win the national championship.
No,
They got some competition with like JJ McCarthy. They're like the most complete team.
Yep.
Them and Oregon are like really tied to be number one right now.
I agree. Okay. Now, Noah, what do you think real quick, Noah, about Oregon's defensive line? You like these big guys up front they got?
Yeah, I think they could beat Washington this week because Washington has struggled for the past few weeks, especially against Washington State. That game, I really thought Washington was going to lose. So I think Oregon right now just wants to be in the playoffs. So I think they will go into this game tomorrow knowing that they want to win and truly stop that offense.
I agree. Go. I got Oregon too.
We got to wrap it up, guys. Listen, Thomas is telling me it's time to wrap it up. We've had another great night of football. Let's get ready for Thursday night football. With the Dallas Cowboys. I'm signing off.
Good luck, brother.
Noah signing off. Here we go. Listen, each and every Thursday, we're back here on the Tony Sands Show. We'll be back. Listen, I got to be careful because next Thursday, I'll be overseas. So I might have to leave the show to you and Noah to run the show. We'll check that out. You might
just let us know. And we'll be talking Denver Broncos over the Houston Texans.
I'm a Chiefs fan.
You'll see Vaughn and Noah next week on the show. They're going to run the show, and I know he's going to run it Broncos straight in. But this is a Cowboy legend.
Chiefs and Broncos, me and Noah. Have a good evening. Yes, sir.